Morning. Good to see all y'all good people here this morning. It's a beautiful day out there. And we're going to talk about a beautiful day that's coming. I want us to focus on that this morning. You know, what is that day going to be like? Do we really understand and appreciate, or are we truly focused on the day of the Lord coming? Ray's class this morning was awesome. It's feeding right into what we were talking about this morning. The 10th version he's talking about, being ready for the day the Lord comes. What the Scripture tells us about that day, about that great day that's coming. Let's see. There we go. You can turn over to 2 Thessalonians, hold on to that chapter 1 and hold on. We're going to be going back and forth throughout this lesson this morning. And it says this, God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who troubled you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus reveals from heaven in blaze of fire with His powerful angels. Can you imagine what that's going to look like? You got to imagine that on that day, all the stars and all the planets, the sun's going to move out of the way, and all you're going to be able to see is thousands of angels there with Jesus. He's coming back in a way that we've never seen and thought possible. We talk about the Lord's Supper and that great event. If you remember back at that great event, and we read about how graves were opened up, how it was dark for many hours, how the veils from the temple tore from the top down. But the day that He wants you to prepare for is this one. It's His coming. Because Jesus not only died, but He rose again. Not only did He go home, but He's coming back. And that's what we need to understand. First thing that we need to understand about that day is the day of honoring Jesus. Jesus is coming back to be honored by all people. 2 Thessalonians verse 7, read that once again. And to you who are troubled, rest for us. For when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed or unveiled, the stars in heaven be unveiled from heaven with His mighty angels. That's going to be the day that He's glorified. Matthew chapter 16, verse 27 tells us this. The Son of Man shall come in the glory of His heavenly Father and His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. That day He's going to be glorified by His Father. Basically, what God's doing is saying, hey, you died on the cross for all these people. Now go get them. Come save those. You the one that died, you be glorified in front of all the angels. To get this to work. There we go. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 10. Therefore God also has highly exalted Him and gave Him a name which is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, all things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. You know what it's telling you that day? All needs to bow. From Adam and Eve to present. All those who are on earth and those who are in heaven. When I look at this, I think about all the history of this world and those who are going to have to bow down in front of Jesus that day. Your Stalins, your Hitlers, your Putins, all those who create havoc on this earth, on that day, their knees are going to bow down. But it says all things. I imagine lions and animals all bowing down to the Heavenly Father. And if you picture that, you're going to be able to see that everybody's going to bow down. Nobody's going to be able to hold back in honoring Jesus on that day. Because He gave Him a name above all names. And we need to realize that. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every tongue will confess. When we talk about the history of this world, we look at Adam and Eve all the way to this present. And you look at all the things that happened in between that time frame. There's a lot of bad things happen. I just mentioned it, like Stalin and Hitler and what Putin's doing right now. Just imagine every one of them is going to confess that he's Lord. Nobody's going to be able to hold back in honoring God that day. Just imagine that event occurring where everybody confesses. That's just going to be an incredible day. But you know, not only is God going to be honored that day, that's the final day, brothers and sisters, that we need to be ready for, that we were just talking about this morning. It's a day of judgment. It's a day of judgment when the Lord's coming back to place His judgment on each and every one of us. Let's go back to what we just read earlier, because I want to pick out a few things for you to look at once again. God is just. We need to understand that in verse 6 it tells us right off the bat that God is just. He will pay back the troubles to those who troubled you. All those who persecute you because you're a Christian, all those people who give you a hard time for what you believe in, He's going to pay them back. In Scripture it tells us that vengeance is the Lord. We don't have to worry about any of that. Because on that day, He's going to bring all that back. He's going to give relief to you who are troubled. And to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus reveals from heaven in blazing fire with His powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Those who don't know God, He's going to punish. But there's an extinction right there. Not only do those who don't know God are going to be punished, but He also tells us, do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. One thing that we need to realize today that this world hasn't realized, it's God's gospel. It's His good news. We don't have the right to change it. We don't have the right to reinterpret it. Because it tells us in Scriptures, we're going to be judged by it. For those who believe once saved, always saved, which is not in Scriptures, they're going to be judged by it. Those who believe that all you got to do is believe and you ain't got to be baptized are going to be judged by it. Those who believe that you just don't have to show up, you can worship God anywhere. I can worship God at the lake or at wherever I'm at. They're going to be judged by it on Judgment Day. And they need to realize that. It tells us they will be punished with everlasting destruction. And this is the hard part. I can't imagine this next part. This would probably be the hardest part for me on Judgment Day if I had to face. And shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. Being shut out from the Lord, knowing what I've been through in my life, knowing that I couldn't do some of these steps if the Lord wasn't present in my life, to realize on Judgment Day that some of us are not going to be able to be in His presence anymore. That's probably the hardest thing for me to accept, to realize that that's going to occur. On that day, He comes to be glorified in His holy people. There it tells us again, He's going to be glorified. Glorified in front of His holy people to marvel at among all those who have believed. You know what it's telling us? When we marvel at that great day that's coming, we cannot picture how great day that's going to be. Our mind cannot wrap around what's going to happen on that day. To think about all the things that occurred, we just can't do it. It's going to be an incredible day. This includes you because you believe our testimony to you. We're going to be glorified with Him. Not only is Jesus going to be glorified with His people, but we're going to be glorified. Here in Matthew chapter 13, it tells us what judgment. This is a parable of the good seed. But in verse 37, it tells us this. He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man." The good seed is a good gospel. He's spreading that good gospel, and that's the good seed. The field is the world. The good seed stands for the people who have His kingdom. So we're His people. The field's the world. But read the rest of this. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weed are the people of evil ones, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. You know, the devil's sowing that seed hard right now. He's sowing that seed that all we got to do is believe certain parts of the Bible. That we don't have to come to church every Sunday. Or that all we got to do is believe. He puts that seed of doubt and deceit in there. He teaches us, once saved, always saved. Once you saved, you ain't got to worry about it no more. Those are all the things that we hear out from the world today. Or some of the things, I can worship God anywhere. So the devil plants those seeds. But what's going to happen? It tells us in the rest of it, the harvest is the end of age. And the harvesters are the angels. Why do you think he's bringing so many angels? They got a lot of harvesting to do. They got a lot of separation of the weed and the good seed. Why do you separate it? It's for a purpose and a reason. Therefore, the tares are gathered and burnt in the fire. So shall it be the end of the world. The weed is going to be separated and burned. That's not what we do when we garden. We take the weed, throw them in a pile, and burn them up so the rest of us can, the rest can flourish. The flowers, the fruits and vegetables. That's what's going to happen on Judgment Day. And continuing on with verse 41 in Matthew chapter 13, it tells us this: the Son of Man who will send forth His angels, and they will gather out all of His kingdom, all the stumbling blocks. You know, I like this part. You know, it tells us in Scriptures, don't be a stumbling block for a young Christian. What's He tells us? He tells us you better to have a millstone around your neck and go and jump into the sea. And this is repeated. All those stumbling blocks for Christians and new Christians, I don't want to be that individual, because He's going to say that those are the ones who are coming after. He puts that phrase stumbling block. So all those people out there trying to stumble us Christians, the vengeance is going to be the Lord on that day. And also said those who commit lawlessness and will be thrown them into the furnace of fire. In that place, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That day, you're not going to know that it's not Judgment Day. You're not going to say, what is in the world is going on? My Brianism, I believe when Christ reveals Himself, we'll understand everything at that point. So will everybody in the world, that they will know. And that's why there's going to be so much weeping and gnashing of teeth, that they're going to realize on that day they're now facing judgment. Then the righteous will shine for the Son in the kingdom of their Father. And he who have ears, let him hear. On that day for us, we're going to shine. And all those people who create struggles for us and hard times for us and all the difficulties in our life will just disappear. For that day, we will shine with our Father. The Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of archangels, and with God's trumpet. 2 Thessalonians 4:16, which I think we read this morning. Telling us that that's what that day is going to be like. And the rest of it says, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Did y'all know that's going to occur? We're going to be here on earth. And the Lord's going to come. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. This is what's going to occur. If it would happen right here and now, you would see all your loved ones coming up you would see, and I think, and just a barism, I believe when Jesus reveals himself to us, we'll know everything. So to me, that day, I was going, look, that's Adam and Eve. That's Moses. That's Elijah. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke. Peter. Oh, I love Peter. And Paul. We'll be able to realize and see them being raised up in this. This is one of the things I don't think we're going to be able to wrap our head around, seeing that they're going to be risen up first while we stand there and watch it. Then what happens? After that, in verse 17, after that, who are still alive are lifted and will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to be caught up. Once they're going, we're right behind them. We're going to be right there with them all. You know what that says? We're going to have the best seat in the house. We're going to be at the biggest event in the world and watching it all. Because Satan and the Lord are going to have their battle. We already know the victory. We already know who's won. But we get to sit back and watch it all. But what does that say for the rest of them? They ain't going to be carried up. They're going to be in the midst of all that destruction and all that's going on. But for us, we have the best seat in the house. Now, Jesus is coming soon. Every day of every hour, we're 1 hour closer to that day. Amen. There's nothing. We talk about it all the time. We say, well, we may die in a car accident on the way home. Or we may have an issue before we even get through church service. I remember when I was a child, Carson Street, there was an older gentleman who had a heart attack during church service. We talk about that. But there's nothing saying that the Lord won't come while we're still here. Amen. That day is coming. You were told in Matthew chapter verse 24, verse 44, so you also must be ready, just like we talked about this morning. You got to be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour which you do not expect Him.
Amen.
It also tells us in Luke, the Son of Man is coming to an hour that you do not expect. You know, I imagine me coming through the door this morning and the Lord coming to me and say, Brian, at the end of your sermon, I'm going to come. And I thought about that. Even with us sitting here this morning, how many are expecting the Lord to come? How many have already thinking about what's going on after church? Oh man, what do we got to do this week? I got this and this and this that I got to get accomplished this week. You know, we got graduations coming up. We got weddings. We just had one on Friday. So we got this event coming up. We got childbirth coming down the road. We're thinking about everything. But are we truly expecting Him to come right now? How many of us, and I'm stepping on my toes, they kind of hurt at times going over this sermon, how many of us are truly expecting Him to come any moment? I don't think we are. We get so wrapped up in the world and so wrapped up what's going on day to day that sometimes this is a second thought or an afterthought. And we were talking about it in Ray's class this morning. We have to be ready. 2 Peter 3, verse 10 through 11 says this, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And the heavens will be destroyed with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. You come like a thief in the night. Who's prepared for a thief to come? Melvin Jones told a story several years ago. He went to the bank to get some money out of it, and somebody walked up behind him and was robbed him. The robber wasn't expecting Melvin Jones being an ex-police officer, and he got something else, a little surprise for himself. But Melvin Jones didn't walk up to that ATM expecting to be robbed. Yeah, we sing the song morning, noon, or night. We don't know when. I can tell you it's coming morning, noon, and night. Because it's noon somewhere in this world. It's morning somewhere in this world. So he's coming morning, noon, and night. You pick an hour because he's coming. So you think, oh, he's coming at 5 o'clock. He's coming at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock somewhere. So you need to be ready. Verse 11, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to be living holy and godly lives. That's the way we need to be ready. We need to be living that daily. We need to be focused on that day that's coming. Daily. Hourly. Expecting. Oh, Lord, you know, the Apostle Paul would ask Jesus all the time, is now is it time? We should be like them saying, Lord, now is it time? That's the way we should be. We should be happily in expectation of that day coming. We should be looking forward to that day. For us, it's the greatest day that we'll ever live. Even if we die, we're coming back first to celebrate it. So that's the greatest event that we'll ever be prepared for. You know, we prepare more for the Super Bowl and more for family events, graduations, weddings, birthdays, births, than we do for this day right here. The preparation that we need to do for this, and we do more for our everyday events. As you look forward to that day, in verse 12, of God, and speed its coming. One thing that you got to realize about the judgment day, we're not going to stop it, and we're not going to slow it down.
Amen.
But we can speed its coming. We can make it get here quicker. And how do we do that? I fully believe that on judgment day, when the time has fully come, when there will be judgment day, when the last person has rejected God and the last person has accepted God, when that day comes, because He's given us full opportunity to do that, when that day is fully come, and there's no way to predict that. But we can speed it up by telling everybody about that day. We can tell more and more people. We don't have to get someone to accept it, because one thing is going to happen. They're going to accept it or deny it. That's one down. So the more people we tell, and the more accept it, and the more it turn it down, the quicker that day's coming. And we get frustrated because people don't accept His Word. They're rejecting Him, not us. And that day, they're going to be rejected. They're going to bow down, and their tongues shall confess. And that's their choice. But to speed our day up, all we got to do is keep out there preaching and teaching the gospel to everybody that we can. And that day will be here sooner. We got to understand that. That day will bring about destruction of the heavens by fire. And the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with His promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where the righteous will dwell. You know, I imagine this earth when God first created it. I try to, because I see when I go on trips, go up to that beautiful mountain or that ocean and see how great and beautiful. You get glimpses of that. And imagine what that earth looked like in the garden. It's probably beyond what I can imagine. But heaven is going to be beyond that. That new earth is going to be something that we can't imagine what it's going to look like. That we're going to be able to dwell in and live in and be a part of. You know, played a movie I think it was first of the month actually. It was about a search dog. This police officer wanted to have a search dog. And they kept denying him, and they wouldn't give him a dog. They said, well, if you get your own dog, maybe you can be a part of the program. So he went to the pound and got this dog, just a mutt, and ended up training that dog by himself. And then at the end of the movie, the dog that he got from the pound, the lady that gave it to him, child went lost. It's a true story. Child went lost, and that dog found that child. But there's a police officer that kept telling him, it was in the movie, that was his mentor he's trying to look up to, told him this: stay ready so you ain't got to get ready. And I heard that phrase right out of the movie. I said, man, I can make a whole sermon around that. What are we, and I thought of it, if I'm going to make a sermon, what are we getting ready for? We're getting ready for Judgment Day.
Amen.
And then when Judgment Day, if we ain't ready, we ain't got time to get ready. This phrase he was using for police officers and firefighters, which we say, is you got to be ready because you don't know when that emergency is going to hit. So you got to be ready for that event, to be ready to make that rescue, to be able to make that save. The police officer's got to be ready for those bad events. He can't get ready when it occurs. It's too late. Brothers and sisters, you got to stay ready. So that way you ain't got to get ready. How many of us are ready for that day? You need to be like this baby right here. And he says, I'm ready for the day. Are you? You know, that's my question to you this morning, and give you some food for thought for the rest of this week. Are you like this baby excited for the day? Are you a Christian excited for that day to come? Are you ready with the excitement for that to come? Because I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, if you're not ready, you won't have time to get ready. We talked about it in this class this morning. I think Judy brought it up. Some of the younger youth believes that, well, I'll start following the Lord when I get older. It may be way too late for that. And maybe you may not be here in the days to come for whatever reasons, or the good Lord may decide to come at any moment. We're not guaranteed for me to finish my statement this morning that the Lord may show up. That's why he tells us we have to be ready for that day. I don't know what you're going through this morning and are struggling with this morning. And I know that you look around, take a look. These pews are not as full as much. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters who are online, who I understand you're not able to be here, but if you're able to be here, this is part of it. We need to fill these pews up for people who are ready. So we need to come together as a congregation. The good Lord's got it. I can tell you that. I can tell you from my personal life. No matter what you go through and what struggles you with through, if you just trust in Him and have an attitude like this little child does, He'll take care of the rest. There's nothing out there that can do you wrong. No trouble out there, as we read earlier, that the Lord will not fix. I don't care if it's a pandemic. I don't care if it's whatever struggles you're going through. I don't care. Just be ready for that day. Celebrate it each and every day that day's coming. Prepare for it. Just like you do for a Super Bowl and other games that we spend so much effort into, we need to make 10 times more effort on that. I don't think we hear this lesson enough about that day coming. Because we realize that we can't stop it, we can't slow it down, we can speed it up. And we have a responsibility for that day. We can't change the gospel, that's His gospel. So if anybody is struggling with anything, I'm going to ask Jerry to come up as one of the elders, because I strongly believe the prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and I strongly believe that the elders and pray over you with anything that you need, because they have for me, I'm telling you. And it's made a world of difference, and we have an awesome elders. If you're online, Wesley's number will be up here. If you have any struggles, anything that you need help with, the elders are here and ready. This congregation is here and ready for you. All you got to do is let us know what your needs are, and we'll try to help you in any way possible. If you're not a Christian, part of getting ready, being washed away of that sins. You're not ready if you haven't been baptized. If you're online and you realize that you ain't been baptized yet, we can fix that too. All you got to do is text Wesley, and we'll make it happen. Somehow, some way, we'll make it happen. But you got to be ready. So why don't y'all stand now as we sing.